Aaron Baines. Off the back of the rim and down. Yes, the Australian fans counting them. One, two, three. We look at Aaron Baines, show us his three ball as well. Mitch Creek lights it. Mills works baseline, kicks it out to Baines, who has shown us his long-range shot already and does so again. Nice pass for Baines, and Baines again hits the back of the net with the three ball. Delivered over, nice pass, Landale called by Aaron Baines, who's been dropping them all night.
NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. It's Wednesday, September 11. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball all the way through this NBA offseason, breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of basketball action for you, including this wild, wild FIBA World Cup. Well, repping Australia, just a little bit, mate. A lot, I'll tell you. It's what we do. All right, so just a quick Wednesday show for you today, talking FIBA World Cup and the Boomers with our man in Amsterdam, or our man in Perth, as it were, the pickandroll.com.au's Ben Malice in the palace. It's a really good chat. Talk all about the Boomers versus France. A bit about the Czech Republic game tonight. Bunch of other stuff, Team USA, etc., etc. We've got a bit of yeah, nah. We've got unpopular opinion of the day, Outback Takehouse, Old Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, NBA Australia Pro Performer of the Night. Malice is there for all of it. So that's really good. I'm going to close out with a brand new Delhi review as well. Un-bloody real. All right, man. Let's get into it, shall we? This is NBA Australia episode 327. Let's go.
This is Matthew Delvedover, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. I said it at the very start of the show. That was just before. He was on last, I think, August 7th, which means he's basically coming on fucking monthly now. When he's not slugging down beers after Australia beat Team USA with us in Melbourne. Or writing about Ben Simmons, or out there leading the Mike Scott Hive, repping Philly hard. That's right, it's Philly beat writer for pickandroll.com.au. You read him everywhere. It's Ben Malice in the palace. Malice, welcome back. What's going on?
Thank you. That's quite the intro. I think you can't get rid of me now. Even hearing, I think last time we predicted all the Ben Simmons drama, so that means that everything we're going to say for the next hour is right, so people better listen to us.
Yeah, it's worrying that we've hit some nails on some heads, and I'm a little scared, but it's all good. Look, your T-shirt of being a recurring guest is still in the mail. It takes a while to get over to Perth. I put it on the back of a camel, so that's how they do things, like going across the Nullarbor still, right? Right?
If you say so, yeah, I'll take your word on that. I've been in America too long, but I look forward to the camel rocking up to my front door in about 6 months' time, and I'll rep the shirt when it gets here next year.
All right, Malice. So we're in the middle of the World Cup. Well, I guess we're past the middle. We're getting towards the pointy end. We've had quarterfinals already. USA and Australia have their games tonight. Serbia got beaten by Argentina last night, which was pretty wild. And España, the El Spaniados, beat Poland, 90-78 as well. Either of those two, a bit of a surprise. Obviously, Serbia going out was, right?
Yeah, that very much shocked me. Speaking of getting things right, that's one thing I definitely got wrong, because before this tournament, it might have even been with you, I think, when we spoke in Melbourne, that I thought Serbia was going to win the World Cup. Yeah. So let's just scrub that prediction from the internet base and pretend it didn't happen. But I did not see Argentina doing what they did last night, and to see old man Luis Scola out there scoring points, setting screens, and his grey hair took me aback. So it was quite the shock to see Argentina dominating, but they played well last night. And for our Boomers, it kind of means that the United States, I think, are going to be definitely in the final. So hopefully we can join them there on Sunday and look forward to seeing Patty Mills beat them again. So, yeah, but very interesting and very surprising to see the Serbians go down last night.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a season of Luis Scola in Brooklyn when they sort of brought him in as when all hope was lost, basically, in Brooklyn. They're just staring down the barrel of at least another 2 and a bit years of just abject failure and shithouseness. And they're like, ah, fuck it. We'll bring in a couple of old blokes just to sort of make sure that our young dudes don't, you know, do dumb shit. And Luis was like just an absolute legend. And every time he got out on the floor, even the Brooklyn crowd, which is apathetic at the best of times, was kind of like, hey, it's fucking Luis Scola. He's older than most of us here. This is awesome. So for him to go out and drop 20 on Serbia was pretty fucking cool, I thought. So, and meanwhile, Nikola Jokic, hello. And yeah, that was a bit of a, not a great one from old big Nikola. Five turnovers. Bit of a rough one. We'll get to that a little bit later. So Team USA play France tonight before we finish off the quarters going against the Czech Republic. But before we talk about those ones in a bit of with Malice a little bit later, we're going to quickly wrap the Boomers Game 5 win over France, which I believe I called probably and easily the Boomers' biggest win in World Cup history. 198, Malice. It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, well, 5-0, that's very good and definitely the biggest World Cup win I can ever remember. And I think even in the third quarter there, I remember thinking, and I was watching the game with my old man, which was cool, but I remember saying to him that I thought we were going to be cooked here because the French just kept keeping us at bay and we weren't playing that well. And then our Lord and Saviour, Paddy Mills, just took over and he just started dominating. And old man Joe Ingles was riding shotgun and doing his thing as well. So the two of them were giving us all the offense. And then I know he's your spirit animal, but old mate Aaron Baines just really took charge late as well. And some of the plays he was making, throwing his body around, taking charges, smacking people across the head, getting tough rebounds, and of course, making those wonderful threes really helped complement what those two guys were doing. So I think we had our big three operating on Monday night against the Frenchmen. And yeah, it was definitely a big win and it sets up what could be a historic week. So you might be right that it might be the biggest win we've ever had in this tournament, which is super cool and super exciting. And hopefully we can look back in a week's time and see that was the turning point in a very magical achievement that we're going to get this week.
Yeah, I dig that you were watching it with your dad. I was at Fleetwood Mac watching it on my phone, which is pretty fucking funny. But then my mum and dad were actually in the, almost unbeknownst to me, they bought tickets like just the day before or something. And they're like, hey, we're going to come to Fleetwood Mac as well. I'm like, fucking cool. So I'm watching it on my phone and then we're in the waiting for an Uber, watching it on my phone, in an Uber on the way home, just scaring the absolute fucking bejesus out of poor bloody Sutnam. He's sitting there going, why do I have this fucking ginger asshole yelling about basketball that he's like staring at his phone? And meanwhile, my mum, dad, and old mate, El Wifo, were in the back seat just going, oh, God damn it, James is embarrassing us in front of Sutnam. thing is, the way that fourth quarter just went back and forth, like I'm just so fucking stoked and happy that I watched it live no matter what, right? Like it was just, as you said, in the third quarter, they were just holding us at bay and you're like, oh, I think we're a bit cooked here. And then bangers. He just went, nah, boys, get on me back. What do you reckon? Paddy Thrills just goes, fucking kabang, and off we went. Even the, you know, Dele hitting those free throws like Creaky getting amongst it. It was just kind of fucking perfect, right? Like I didn't expect to go into the fourth, but just was so fucking happy that that's the way it played out.
It was just very cool. It reminded me a lot of the Spain game at the Rio Olympics, that one game that we don't like to talk about.
Yep.
But it was very similar in the sense that it was back and forth. It was just an objectively awesome game to watch and be a part of and have a rooting interest in. And the cool part is that we actually won this one. We won this game, and I think that obviously frames how we feel about it because, as I say, it was very similar to that Spain game 3 years ago because it was back and forth and the difference was we made a couple of those big plays down the end this time. Even thinking about what Dele did in the last minute where he drew two of those fouls and went three or four from the free throw line, they were the game-winning points and they were just heady veteran plays that he made. The first time getting the 2-for-1 and getting fouled with about 30 seconds left on the clock and then doing it again in the final moments to win the game. So I think that's the veteran nature of this team coming together. It's the fact that we know these guys have been playing together for a decade and they just continue to get better as individual players and smarter as individual players. And the fact that they look to have learnt and developed since that last Rio game that I was talking about and pulled it out on Monday night is, it's wonderful. And as you say, it's very cool that we're actually winning these games for a chance, and we've got the talent, we've got the mindset that we've always had, but we've actually got, I think, just the veteran experience now to expect to start winning all of these close games.
Yeah, I mean, the Paddy steal at the very end was kind of like this beautiful capper on everything, right? Just like, oh, it could not be more perfect. The dude's dropped 30. But as you mentioned, like Daly hitting those free throws after not really doing like pretty much anything offensively the entire game, to the point where he's sort of in and out of the lineup. And I think he was also in foul trouble, wasn't he? So there was like this moment where you're like, oh, please just fucking, Daly's got the ball in his hand. Don't fuck it up. And he just comes through and hits those free throws. As I think I mentioned this in my rap, it was the ballsiest thing to come out of Maribor since Stewie Cremieri's left nut. and I think that checks out. But the veteran Hedrick plays, I mean, bangers taking that charge in the last couple of minutes was just an absolute fucking watershed moment where I think, was it Gobert dunked over him, but it was an offensive foul and it was just absolutely fucking perfect, because I think that would have put France back up, no problems, and off we would have gone. And yeah, crucial moments like that were just like, to see them go our way was fucking beautiful. But, you know, Jingles with the layup, the stare down, that was amazing. And, oh, look, I'm just getting fucking sweaty thinking about it, Malice. It's just great.
It's exciting, isn't it? And, like, you spoke of that Baines charge at the end, which I agree was wonderful. But I think even more important than that was the two charges he drew to start the fourth quarter when, to be honest, the Boomers' defense was pretty crap. Through the first three quarters, they were missing rotations and they were just a step behind and not really putting full commitment in on that end. But to start the fourth quarter, we've essentially got the closing lineup out there, and we see Baines draw a charge first time down the floor. 60 seconds later, he steps in front, draws another charge. We start the quarter on an 11-something spurt and just build the little lead that we held on to late. So as much as we talk about the wonderful play of Joe and Deli and Paddy manipulating the defense and pulling up from 30 feet and jacking all these wonderful shots, Bainesy in the middle really held that down, and I thought really was the spirit animal to that win in the fourth quarter, because he just provided that mongrel, that really physical intensity, those intangible Australian things that I know we talk about too much, but we needed some of that on Monday night, and he gave it to us at the perfect time. And the fact that he's shooting like Steph Curry down at the other end really helps as well, and we need more of that.
Couldn't have said it better. The 6'10 Steph Curry. In a surprise twist, I got a feeling we're going to talk about him in a second again too. But there you go. So there you go. 5-0 the Boomers are now, which is absolutely fucking wild. They go against the Czech Republic. And, you know, beyond that, it'd be Spain. And you're like, all right, cool. Revenge game, possibly. Let's do it. Let's fucking win this so we can actually have a crack at a revenge game. That'd be incredible. I mean, the French side, though, just is a quick one. I mean, they look good for so much of this game, and it was kind of weird that they started missing those shots late. Like, even, like, fucking Nando De Colo was tearing them up, and Gobert was pretty bloody good, I think. Not one of his best games, but he was at least, like, really, 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 he's a deterrent. At the worst of times, Gobert is a deterrent, and he was really fucking good. I didn't mind, actually, Frankie Smokes. I don't think he had a really shit game. And I feel like, you know, I'm going to fucking ram home this point forever and ever, but Nick Batum, is there a dude who got paid so much money and then just decided to stop playing basketball more than Nick Batum?
He's doing well for himself, isn't he? I think he scammed Michael Jordan into that fat contract, and then he's saving himself for these French games once every 3 years.
That's fucking crazy. Anyway, yeah. Obviously, Fournier was the lead scorer, but man, Evan, don't Google me Fournier. I'm going to talk about him in a little bit as well. But I don't know, the French, from their point of view, you've got to be pretty disappointed with that one. But you got to feel pretty good about them taking on Team USA. We'll talk about that in a second. All right, Malice, let's do some segments. You ready for this? I don't know if you've done a game wrap day with me, but in fact, I don't think you would have. So this is the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
All right, well, it's pretty fucking obvious who the NBA Australia approved performance of the night's going to go to, Malice. Any guesses?
Well, I think it's, once again, your spirit animal, Mr. Aaron Bynes.
It's not just because I've got a beard that's exactly like his. And I keep bringing this, like, people actually ask me all the time, it's like, why has he got a red beard? I'm like, look, you are 100% asking the fucking wrong person, considering I've got a giant red beard. But Aaron Bangers Bynes, the man from Mareeba, the Mareeba Man Mountain himself, he was unreal. What a fucking game, Mellis. 21 points, but not even just 21 points. 5 of 6 from downtown. I think, was it you who just said it, or did you tweet out how he was en fuego? And it's like the most perfect way of saying it. En fuego from downtown, just dominated. 7 of 9 overall, 5 of 6 from downtown, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 0 turnovers for Bangers. And those 3 drawn offensive fouls, absolutely fucking crazy. That 3, I think, that he hit from the corner with less than 3 minutes left was just, whoa, kissing fingers emoji. And then the charge that he draws after that, as you mentioned, the 2 at the start of the 4th, just fucking great. I mean, I think I mentioned this the other day. I think he may have even got the improved performance of the night the other day, because the force with which he plays with sometimes is just, it's more inspiring than seeing the Pamela Anderson sex tape, you know? It's just like one of those things where you're like, wow. This may have just changed my life kind of moment. So, I don't know. What did you reckon? Like, could Bangers have played literally any better?
Well, first of all, I'll happily take the credit for the Infuego comment. That was the best way to describe the Ginger Splash Brother on Monday night. He was he was great, right? And you're probably right that he couldn't have really played much better than what he did, because when the shots are falling, he is just perfect for what the Boomers are trying to do. But it was the other end. Like we talked about before, he was just everywhere. He was obviously going up against Mr. Gobert, which is a very challenging battle given his lankiness and tallness, but Aaron's was just doing his thing, right? He was low, he was wrestling like a bear and just being a nuisance. So I don't think he could have played much better than he did, and he really gave the Boomers what they need, and especially considering that Andrew Bogut has been low-key pretty average over the past week, we need Bynes more than ever over the next few games, and that came through against France, because they were a different team with Bainesy on the floor, and it just unlocked everything at both ends. And we can talk about the charges, we can talk about, excuse me, the three-point shooting, but what you said in there is right. It was just him doing Aaron Baines things. He was throwing his body around, he was throwing elbows, throwing shoulders, ticking off the French guards as they were walking into screens that felt like brick walls. So he just gave the French the full Aaron Baines experience and helped win the game. So very excited to see if he can hopefully replicate that tonight and beat down the Czech Republic, because I want 3 more games of that. And if we get 3 more games like that, then the boys could be coming home with a golden medal, which would be obviously amazing.
Yeah, it was like, so he fouls out of the Dominican Republic game, right? And you're just like, oh, shit. So we needed sort of everybody else to step up, and they did. And you saw that, like, when he was really good against Lithuania, we won that. When he was really good against France, we won that. Like, it's not so much that he's a litmus test, but it's just when he plays well, we fucking win. We've won all the games anyway, but still, god damn it, it just feels a lot of, I don't know, much, when he's on song, it feels much more sort of systematically correct, I guess, is the way I'm sort of thinking about it. It's like, this is ideally how we want to play, with Bangers playing well, and then you have Jingles, Patty, Dally sort of filling in the gaps and doing their stuff. Which also leads me to Patty Thrills, is the co-NBA Australia approved performer of the night. That steal at the end of the game, but him always just popping up and hitting shots when it matters, ends up with 30. He was absolutely fucking crazy. He hits the shot and you're like, oh, fuck, here we go. Patty, goddamn Thrills, you absolute superstar. It was great to see him just go off again. And then put the capper on, just, oof, j'ai beautiful. All right, what about the old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
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 All right, Malice, old mate, no mates. It's one of the French guys. It's going to be Evan Don't Google Me Fournier. He gave it, he gave it his all. But you can't Google him, and I wouldn't suggest it. But also, goes out, drops it. Nando De Colo comes out. You know, he's got a name like a, what is it? Fucking Nando's recipe. That's awesome. I don't know. He was some spicy chicken, but no one else really gave them much more. And you kind of felt like they sort of felt, they just a little bit quiet down the stretch, especially with Fournier. It was a bit of a Barry Crocker shocker, I think, down the stretch for France. And you got to feel vaguely bad for Fournier, considering he was doing everything. But, you know, oh, well, I'm not going to cry too many tears over the French. What do you reckon, Malice?
No, you've got the right attitude there. They, we don't need to spill any tears for them. But I agree. Fournier was, it was amazing, wasn't he? As much as we all love Patty Mills, he was doing the same thing there in that third quarter, and the dude just didn't miss a single bloody shot. And then you're right, Mr. Nando's was doing the same thing, riding shotgun with him. And it was almost for a couple of quarters there. It was Fournier and DiColo versus Ingles and Patty. And the French guys really kept up with him, but they just didn't have much help anywhere else. And your mate Batum did a couple of things, but he kind of went missing down the end there as well. So it was actually pretty much what we said off the top, right? It was objectively cool seeing Fournier and DiColo go nuts and really go toe-to-toe and really put an exciting game forward. And the thing that I honestly hope is that they just do it again tonight versus the Americans. And I think if they can replicate that tonight, then they'll be able to give the Americans a good shake. And we all know how wonderful it would be if they could pull off the miracle tonight and do us a big favour.
Yeah, there was like the stretch, like I remember just being in the Uber, and it's like the stretch where Fournier, I think, got them, hit a three to get them back tied. It was about 3 minutes left. And then DiColo made a layup after a Delhi turnover. And I'm just like, I'm about to like jump out of the fucking moving car at that point going, gah. And that's when Bangers hit the three to put us back up one, which was just fucking wild scenes. Wild scenes. And we can't do an old mate, no mates without mentioning the big bogeyman himself. You know, with the Chinese fans out there cheering every time he touches the ball.
Cheering's a generous way of putting that, I think.
But you did touch on something there, I think, which is pretty interesting. Bogut hasn't been great for a little while. And it sort of seems like, you know, he did hurt himself in the sort of lead up and, you know, a couple of little, you know, tweaks here and there. He hasn't been bad offensively. Like, he's sort of gotten a couple of buckets here and there. He's like always good for these weird random junk buckets where you're like, oh shit, thanks for that, Bogut. That was handy. And obviously the rebounding is always good, but yeah, the defensive coverage is pretty limited, I think, now with Bogey, and it's pretty tough to watch sometimes, right?
Yeah, he's clearly lost a step, and that's not saying he's a bad player, because he's not. It's just the simple fact that on defense, Aaron Baines is a much better fit for what this team needs, and we've been talking about it for the past 20 minutes, so it's quite obvious, but he just fits better than Bogut does. Offensively, you're right. We've seen it every game. Bogey's always good for his three or four hook shots or scoop shots, and just his touch around the rim is still as good as it ever was. Some of his action operating at the high post with guys like Patty and Delly and Joe running around him is some of the best-looking basketball you see all tournament, and he's still got the passing gene, and his, I suppose, assist-per-minute ratio is still very, very high. So he's still giving the Boomer something. It's just that we need defense more than we need offense at that five position, and Bogut just has, whether it's injury, whether it's age, whether it's a combination of both, he just hasn't quite been as effective as he was in Rio at that end. But then again, you've got him playing 15 minutes a night, ideally, behind Aaron Baines, and that's still a very good option, especially when you go against someone like Spain, which hopefully we will on Friday. That means we've got 40 minutes of big bodies to throw up Marc Gasol, which will no doubt come in handy. And I think Bogut's almost a representation of what you said about Baines before, where Baines has played well in the games that we've won by a lot and won easy, that is. But against teams like the Dominican Republic and even the Canada games back in Australia, you've just seen that the team has really just cruised through the games they didn't have to take seriously. And then when the games got really important, like the France game, they really went balls to the wall. And I do think there might be some of that in Bogut as well, because now we've got to the end of the tournament, there's maximum three games left. I'd expect that he will be throwing his body on the floor, really giving it 110%, knowing that if he gets injured, he gets injured. It doesn't matter. That the fact is, these guys are three wins away now from doing something they've been dreaming about and talking about doing for 15 years. So it's touchable, it's tangible, it's right in front of them. So with Bogut especially, I expect to see him going balls to the wall over these last three games.
Looking forward to it. Bogey laying some wood. All right, spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
All right, I mean, it feels pretty harsh to give out a spud of the night considering we beat fucking France there, Malice, but I don't know, Chris Goulding, 14 minutes, didn't really look threatening, had a couple of pretty rough turnovers, so I don't know, I'm I'm not really excited to give Goulding a spud of the night because he's been so fucking good all tournament. So look, he can sort of cop this one, but I also wouldn't mind giving it to Andre Lemanis for having a bit of spud about him. Yeah, he coached Australia to 5 straight wins here, but it's also taken him 5 games to realize that maybe playing the Creek Freak, Mitch Creek, 18 minutes a game is a really fucking good idea. 7, 9, 13, 13 are his minute totals up until this last game. And goes out there, absolutely fucking crushes it, does the Creek Freak. Ends up 8 points, three rebounds, yeah, and 1 assist. Just doing Creek things, I think. So Lemanis gets a bit of a spud of the night there for that. And Goulding, look, when he's on, he's on. And when he's off, yeah, you don't really keep him out there for his defensive nous, do you? So,
no.
Yeah, it's a bit rough. Panting of the night, Malice. This one, I still have to do a drop. It kills me that I don't have a drop for pantsing the night. It's literally just me recording myself dropping my pants and mooning the microphone. But this was Rudy Gobert, the Stifle Tower. Rudy Gobert's the Stifle Tower. He got by Jingles. Stared down as I wrote, I think we just declared war on France and also won it in that exact moment. So I feel like Gobert got pants pretty well. Defensive Player of the Year, his own teammate, gets him with a layup. And this is slow-mo Jingling Joe Ingles who gets him. I'm not sure if there's more of a pantsing apart from like being completely fucking baptized by like a tomahawk dunk, you know?
Is that well, right? I think the best thing for Joe is that he's got 7 or 8 months now to just remind him of that move. And knowing Joe like we do, he is just going to be a shithead to Rudy Gobert all NBA season about the fact that obviously the Aussies won, but he got him with that nice little sidestep. So, yeah, the actual play itself probably wasn't that bad, but the banter and the stick and the crap that Gobert's going to cop between now all the way through to June, he'd probably be wishing he didn't get his pants pulled down, because you're right, there is going to be a lot of banter coming his way, and it's just more fuel for Joe to be the very smart, I suppose, antagonistic shithead that he is in an affectionate way, and poor Rudy's going to cop a lot of that over the next 6 months.
For real. I'd request a trade if I was Rudy. just get the fuck out while you can. All right, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, I guess. I mean, wow, it's still weird to think that Lonzo's on the fucking Pelicans. Anyway, Malice, better than Lonzo Ball. Look, this is just going to keep going to Rock'em, Sock'em, Block'em, Jock'em, Landale. He was pretty good in this. He played 25 minutes in the France game, had the 5 points, 4 rebounds. Again, though, I think I wrote this in the wrap that sometimes he doesn't need to like really go out and just like, you know, kick ass and be fucking amazing. He just needs to go out there and not fuck up and just be solid. And that's exactly what he was in this game, right?
Yeah, it's almost demeaning to say that, but it's not, because I agree with you 100%. He just needs to be the fifth dude on the floor, and the numbers that I look for him are how many shots he missed and how many turnovers he made. And if both of those numbers are low, then he's had a really good game. And in the French game, he turned the ball over once and missed one shot in 25 minutes. So he's giving the team everything they need. It's just someone that can come in, do a few things, and just not mess up. And you were talking about Creaky before. It's the same thing with him. He just comes in, just does his job, and doesn't mess up. And we've clearly got all the talent we need. We just need these guys like Creek and Landale to come in and do their part. So I continue to be impressed with him, and I look forward to seeing him in the NBA in a couple of years' time, because I think this tournament is going to be the launching pad for him to get over to America and really get where he wants to get to.
Yeah, it's like crucial. I think I even wrote this as well. Like, it's crucial when like dudes like Goulding and Kay aren't on, that obviously Patty, Jingles, etc. go absolutely spare. And, you know, actually Joe Ingles going, fuck it, I'm going to score heaps was really cool. But with Nick Kay sort of not getting his usual kind of random, fundamentally sound Nick Kay junk layup putbacks, etc., etc., Jock Landale to go out there, dropping that three that he did, was like surprisingly crucial. And
Yeah. Look,
it wouldn't be a better than Lonzo Ball if I didn't point out the fact that Jock Landale in this tournament has 36 points, has shot 56% from the field. Now, Lonzo hasn't even shot 50% from the fucking free throw line. So I'm going to say Jock Landale, better than Lonzo Ball. All right, how about Dickhead of the Week?
Dickhead of the Week!
Now, I don't really have too much dickhead of the week sort of popping out at me. What do you reckon, Malice?
Well, I know what we could do because we like doing this. We could call out the Australian media for not pumping up this Boomers campaign, and we can throw them into your little hate list. Well, not hate list, but hit list, because as much as I love everything else going on in the world, it's really the best thing that's happening in Aussie sports at the moment. So Australian media, lift your game and start talking about the Boomers because we need some more press. So that would be on my hit list. I'm not sure if they're quite up to your dickhead standard just yet, but they're approaching that with their respect for this team or lack thereof.
There was a great tweet by the Foss about if the Socceroos went 5-0 at the World Cup, everybody would be fucking losing their minds and there'd be a public holiday. The Boomers go out there and there's nowhere near the amount of fucking coverage. So, yeah, I think dickhead of the week can easily go to the Australian mainstream media for not covering this Boomers team more closely, probably without, you know, it doesn't have anywhere near the giddiness of excitement that builds up during an actual soccer World Cup or anything like that. So, yeah, there you go. Good call, Malice. Dickhead of the week. Australian mainstream media, pull your fucking heads in. Get around this, motherfuckers. Nice one. All right, we're going to be back in a second with Yeah Nah right after this one.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Right, we are back. It's time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of, well, usually NBA storylines, but this may as well just be the World Cup Yeah Nah, and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. I'm just going to ask a question to Ben Malice in the palace. He's going to give me a yeah or a nah. I'm going to talk it out. So first off, Malice, does the struggle, and this is pretty interesting. I've like kind of enjoyed that this has been the way it's worked out. Does the struggle of dudes like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Nikola Jokic, hello, does that show that the FIBA World Cup and sort of international basketball really is more about the team than the individual? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, it's a big yeah, and an extension of that, it's all about the coaching as well, because old mate Greek coach, who I can't remember his name, but he didn't do the best of jobs over the past week and didn't really give Giannis a chance to excel because of exactly what you said. He was kind of too devoted to the team concept, and I remember seeing Giannis playing the four and running off screens and acting like his Rudy Gobert out there, which isn't really what I'd say the smartest thing to do, but there is this team first principle that if it's leveraged right, like the Australians do, can go really well. But I would implore some of these less talented nations like Greece to stop trying to give their scrub point guards some touches while the Greek freak stands in the corner and just doesn't really get the chance to dominate like he can.
Yeah, so it was a weird sort of, what was it? There was like one game, yeah, the Brazil game where he only had seven shots, and then against the Czech Republic only had nine shots. It's like, dudes, I feel like you should be running, I don't know, fucking everything through Giannis all the time. Like, what are y'all doing? Well, Jokic as well, like, you feel like he's the consummate sort of team player as well, but it was weird sort of seeing his limitations against some of the, you know, especially, you know, Argentina and like the dudes that Serbia ran into. You're like, kind of expected Jokic to go out there and play at least much more consistently at a high level. And yeah, it kind of does come, as you mentioned, down to the coaching and stuff like that. So pretty weird, pretty interesting situations. Kind of on top of that as well, Malice. Does France beat Team USA today? Yeah, nah.
Ooh, I would love to give you the biggest yeah imaginable, but nah, I can't see this one happening. But I'm crossing my fingers and my toes and praying to the French gods that they can pull a miracle for us.
The French gods are like two bottles of wine and some, I don't know, hairy underpits. anyway.
The first half of that sounded good. I'll take the wine. You can have the underpits.
Oh, man. I still remember the fucking cheese I had at a place down in south of France when I was traveling through there. It was like made by these fucking monks. I'm like, these monks, I mean, if their god is cheese, this is fucking unreal. I agree. I think this is the game that wakes Team USA up a bunch and then they start sort of just laying a little bit more wood on people because I feel like they, you know, after the Turkey game, etc. like that, they've kind of been cruising since. I feel like France comes out, punches them in the nose. Team USA goes, wait a minute, fuck all y'all, and maybe starts kicking ass. I'm a little bit worried. Next one then, I guess. This is the big question, Malice. Can and will Australia beat the Czech Republic tonight? Yeah, nah.
A massive yeah. I think it's going to be a I don't want to jinx it, but I think it's going to be a pretty easy win tonight.
Oof. Well, they are 9-point favourites, I noticed, which is feels like a lot. Like, I know the Czech Republic, you know, they're pretty good. They don't have, like, you know, really fancy names or anything so much, but I don't know, man. 9 points is a lot, isn't it?
Well, I think it's two things, right? If the Boomers come out and play like they did against France, this will be a double-digit game. If they come out and play like they did against the Dominican Republic, then we are going to be having some sweaty times in the fourth quarter tonight. And I choose to believe they're going to come out and give it their all and play like they did against France, build a bit of a lead-up, and then hopefully we can have a stress-free end to this game. So my faith in them winning tonight and winning by double digits rest with the fact I think they're going to come to play, and like I said before, the fact that they can see the end now, the fact they know they've got Spain on deck on Friday, hopefully, and that's going to be a very hard game to win. Hopefully, and this is my hope, they treat the Czech Republic with all the respect in the world tonight and really treat it like a business trip and get the job done really quickly.
Yeah, I think I said it before the Dominican Republic game. It's like my fucking kingdom for just a Boomers game where we come out from the start on fire, lay the wood and keep that up the entire fucking game. Geez, that'd be nice if they did that tonight. With that in mind, I mean, if you're going the yeah path against Czech Republic, Malice, do we medal? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I think we will beat Spain and we'll be playing the Americans on Sunday. So I think the medal is coming home and it's just going to be up to whether our boy Paddy can take us across the line again against the Americans on Sunday. But I see us winning tonight, and I'm saying this probably out of hope as much as anything else, but I see us getting revenge for Rio on Friday afternoon and finally getting past those Spaniards and finally making history and getting what we all want.
Now, I'm going to ask the next year, nah, and then I'm just going to try to make sure I remember the one that just popped up then. So, I mean, if we actually medal in this, that's cool. And, you know, we've at least made the quarterfinals of the World Cup without Big Simo Ben Simmons, son of Bruce Jonah Bolden, Kung Fu Thon McCur, Dante, son of Cecil Exum, Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff. So with that in mind, does that mean we're definitely winning gold at the Olympics, Malice? Yeah, nah.
I would love that so goddamn much, but what you said about the Americans getting a wake-up call this week, I think that if, God forbid, we do beat them or someone beats them this week, then that will be the ultimate wake-up call for them. And same again, even if they win gold and it's a tooth and nail affair, I fully expect the American players to be playing at the Olympics next year. So if any American player out there wants to have a summer holiday next year and go to Europe instead of Asia, then please feel free to do so. But if the Americans rock up 1 through 12, as much as I love our team, I can't see us beating them at full strength.
Yeah, hopefully, like, LeBron's, like, you know, busy with the Space Jam 2 premiere and has got, like, a, you know, he has to go to Cannes and he has to, you know, he's got, he's already put the deposit down on a super yacht, and a whole bunch of the top echelon NBA dudes are like, oh shit, LeBron's invited me on his yacht. That's going to be fucking cool. And it just happens to coincide when the Olympics are. I'll be pretty okay with that. But this in mind, like, it only just popped into my brain. So unfortunately, I don't think this this World Cup team, unless we do win the gold medal, but if we, you know, silver bronze it, I don't think it's quite going to reach into the public's consciousness as enough as it probably should. And probably won't even supersede, like, those classic Boomers teams of yore with Gazy, the Hammer, Bradke, etc. But if we, I mean, and would you at least agree with that, Malice? Yeah, no? What do you reckon?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I think why I sort of hedge my bets there is I think the fact that these guys actually have personalities that transcend the normal sporting landscape is something that's going to help us out. And obviously, while Gazy, for instance, is a legend and he's built this career for himself in the media, someone like Patty Mills already has the branding, already has the, I suppose, the public platform in Australia. And while them doing something special this week might not in itself be, I suppose, the moment that really draws the attention in, I think the lead up to the Olympics next year is going to be what really gets that going. And especially if we see Patty carrying the flag into the opening ceremony in Tokyo, which would actually be my personal pick, I think something like that is going to really accelerate the process. And even if they win gold on Sunday, there's going to be a lot of press. There's going to be a lot of attention. And that's obviously wonderful. You are right. That's probably not going to transcend fully just yet. But I think in 12 months' time or 5 years' time, we'll look back on this week. If it does go to plan, or even if they finish second and lose a tight final to the States, I think we will look back at this week and what they did as the ultimate turning point and the ultimate piece of gratification that people probably think some of us basketball types have been crazy because we've been talking about these goddamn medals for so long. But when it actually happens, with the passing of some more time, I think it will turn out to be a rallying cry that really cranks up this basketball revolution even further over the next decade.
Yeah, I agree. I think, if this – it's weird because I guess, like, the public's consciousness is probably more invaded by stuff like the Olympics where you're like, oh, shit, you just have, like, more eyeballs on it across the board. And obviously, as we've already talked about, Australia's mainstream media will be falling over themselves to congratulate them and talk about how great they are. But at the moment, it's kind of like, you know, just a little bit like, oh, yeah, I hear they're going all right. All right, with that in mind, look at me. It's the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Malice, unpopular opinion of the day. I think the World Cup does show that we do get a little bit blinkered by the NBA and that other styles and types of players, et cetera, and coaching can make for really good basketball. But I also believe that people saying that this is better basketball are fucking idiots. I'm just saying it is plenty ragged, a lot of the games. Like, I think we're pretty lucky that the Australian games have been pretty entertaining, but at the same time, it's not been the quality of basketball, I guess, that you might even get just like on a random Tuesday in February in the NBA. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. And it feeds into what we said about the Americans before, because if pick the top five nations in this tournament, obviously the Americans, us, Canada even, if all these teams had their NBA players, you'd have four or five teams that are really, really good, and the rest, other, 28 teams, would have no chance of beating those good teams. So I think we obviously enjoy the World Cup for what it is, and it's wonderful because we can all put the green and gold on and really get behind the nation. But the level of play obviously isn't as good, and no offence to some of the guys, even at the back end of the Boomers roster and across some of these rosters, like our friends in the Philippines, for instance, I just don't want to watch them play basketball when the other option is watching even the Memphis Grizzlies play the Lakers or something. The quality of that game just usurps most of what we see in this World Cup, because you're right, we obviously focus on the Boomers, but we're not having to sit through the Philippines get smashed by 70 points every night, and we don't have to watch some of these bad teams and bad coaches play. So for us Aussie fans, it's awesome, but I agree. Give me the quality of the NBA every day. But that said, hopefully the Aussies can just keep doing their thing and we can just wave the flag in everyone's face, and that can be our memory from this week.
Yeah, I don't want to get too heated about that, but it's just that, like, a couple of people were sort of popping off going, man, this is so much better than the NBA. It's just so much, you know, anybody can win on any kind of given day. And I'm like, eh, I don't. All right, settle down.
I think that would clearly change if the Boomers are getting blown out, or we weren't any good, then the harsh reality is a lot of people just wouldn't care and they wouldn't have those opinions. But because the Boomers are decent, well, they're more than decent, they're very good, and we see we can win the thing, I think Joe Blow, basketball fan living in the Melbourne suburbs, Loke focuses on the Aussie natural team, which is cool and obvious, but they just don't really know that there is this other world in America that where the competition and the level of play is just so elite, whereas you've got someone like Patty Mills and Joe Ingles who are the best players on our team. They're the fourth and fifth best guys on their team in America. So naturally, the talent is much better in the States, and the league as a whole produces a better quality of game.
Fuck yeah, nicely said. All right, it's Wednesday. So, Malice, we're going to go to Outback Takehouse. It's Walkabout Wednesday. That means West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Racker cooking up some West Sydney Razorback ribs only at Outback. Goes great as a flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is Giannis Antetokounmpo's flame out for Greece wasn't an utter, abject, disgraceful failure of coaching. It was purely because your counterpart, Kane Pittman, wasn't there, meaning that Giannis didn't dominate. No, well, not really, but I still find it wild that Giannis sort of struggled so much and, you know, couldn't really carry this Greece team further than he did, but still, didn't do too bad of a job, I guess, did he, Malice?
No, well, first of all, I'm sure Kane would love the shout-out, and if any Greek fans or Bucks fans want to fly him over to chaperone Giannis for the next 12 months, I know Kane would happily take that, and if that happens and Kane needs an assistant, I'm here. So I'm also happy to help him out. But you're right. It was I'm blaming a lot of that on the coach because, yeah, as you said before, some of the things Giannis was doing, it was just stupid, to be honest. And I get that these national team coaches want to do it for the betterment of the country and they've got their ideals and what they think is right, but it surely isn't that hard to put Giannis in the middle of the floor and put your best four shooters around him and just live with what happens. And I don't think we saw that once from the Greek. So Kane probably doesn't really care so much, but I know old mate Nick Medelinos isn't so happy. And hopefully next time we see the Greek team and Giannis coming back, they can sort it out so he can dominate some more on the international stage.
Dig it. Yeah, it was pretty weird. And I just feel like, you know, maybe Giannis should just look at this and go, wait, well, maybe I should just have Kane on my staff and just deal with that later. Maybe he is his little muse, maybe. Just saying. All right, final thing for today, Malice, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller. Game Day. Twitter/Insta inspiration check in. Bit of a sad one from Dally today as well. He had to tweet out about Fred McLeod from the Cavs who died, which was really sad. Dally tweeted, really sad to hear this. A genuine great person who made anyone he met feel welcomed. Gonna miss you, Fred. That's a goddamn shame. And yeah, pretty sad. Patty Mills, just out there, you know, crushing it for Australia. Inspiration, but hasn't, you know, Instagrammed or tweeted in the last couple of days. So look, that was a bit of a failure. Bit sad. Bit shit way to end it. So how about we just go Malice. Game preview for tonight. Australia, Czech Republic, 11 p.m. Eastern. I think we've sort of talked about this. 9-point favourites for Australia. I think this is going to be a little bit closer and a little bit more of a pants shitter for Australia. I just don't trust them to sort of go out and kick ass, take names, and then ride it all the way to the end in a double-digit win. So I think it'll be more about 8-9-point win, hopefully. Fingers crossed. And, yeah, I feel like, you know, when we've played up to the better competition, it's been really good, and I just hope that they don't sort of underestimate the Czech Republic. What do you reckon?
I think they'll win by, call it, 13 points. I think Joe Ingles is going to dominate the ball a lot, and I think he's going to end up with a high assist total. And I think they're going to come out and be on full alert and red alert and really take the Czech Republic seriously and treat it like a business meeting, I suppose, because I think the fact that I know Spain is on deck next, and while the players don't really talk about this that much, I'm only assuming that the chance to revenge the Spain game from Rio is all the motivation they need. And knowing that Slugfest is going to be up on Friday, hopefully, I'm thinking they'll come out tonight and really want to try to kill off this team as quickly as they can. And while they're not going to kill off the game in the first quarter per se, I think we are going to see the best of them. And hopefully we can get some garbage time towards the end. So, yeah, Boomers to win by double digits and Joe Ingles to get about 10 assists.
Dig it. Good call. All right, man, you can go follow him on Twitter, at Ben Malice. Read all his stuff at the Pick and Roll. He's a recurring guest. We love him here at NBA Australia. Malice, thanks for coming on.
No, thank you. I'm just still waiting for my T-shirt, so I'll happily wait for it to come.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Massive thank you to Ben Malice in the Palace. As mentioned, go read all his stuff on thepickandroll.com.au, all of his stuff on Twitter, at Ben Malice. He's a legend. Thanks heaps for coming on there, Malice. That's it for today. We'll be back probably Friday, wrapping up the Czech Republic game and some other fun stuff. We'll keep you posted. Either way, lots of good stuff. In the meantime, making sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey IG. Got some other fun stuff popping off this week. That'll be good. Keep an eye on that. Our game wraps have been very, very fun, actually, throughout this World Cup. Thanks for all the interactions and all the kind words. We're all over the socials all the time. You know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, go click on that giant Amazon button on NBAAustralia.com. And they kick us a shekel or two after you're done with your shopping. Come on. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever streaming service you use. Whatever podcast app you use on your Google phone or your Android phone or your iPhone 11. Nah, no prick's got those yet. Anyway, rate and review helps out heaps. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's the best Australian album of the year. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, iOS, Sex Shadow, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear on NBA Australia. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, that's it. Fun day. Thanks to Malice. Going to close out with a brand new Dally review. And we We'll speak to you on Friday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Luna Ho! Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your old mate Deli over here, just swinging by from your usual pop culture review on NBA Australia. Look, thank you, thank you, thank you very much for all of your very kind birthday wishes. My mum sent me a card with 12 bucks in it. That was pretty good. What else? Oh, it was fucking sick. All the boys got around me for my birthday, smashed some Corona tinnies. We also smashed the Dominican Republic. That was fucking sick. But I'll tell you what, it's pretty weird having a birthday in China. Like, you're like, hey, buddy, it's my birthday. And they're like, fucking what, dickhead? And you're like, oh, it's when I was born. And they're like, who are you? And you're like, fuck, I'm Deli, you dickheads. Oh, I'm gonna fight everyone. Yeah, anyway. But it's pretty fucking sick. Not big on birthday cakes. Turns out over here, me mate Jingles, though, he was pretty awesome. He found me a cupcake and put a fucking little candle in it. And he sung happy birthday to me. Well, it wasn't him. He made Jock Landale do it. That big, tall, fucking, dumb, fucking look. Oh, look at me. I got a mohawk. I love me some Rock'em Sock'em. But still, he's the rookie, basically, so we had to make him sing it to me, and it was fucking hilarious. What else? Oh, yeah, so we beat France. That was fucking good. Love giving shit to Evan Fournier and that big fucker Rudy Gobert. Fuck them all, I says. That was fun as shit. Hopefully we'll beat the Czech Republic tonight. Anyway, pop culture review for this week. The only movie I've been able to see over here in China is fucking Detective Pikachu. And look, it's got Ryan Reynolds doing Pikachu, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Well, I collected fucking Pokemon cards and shit like all the time, and I'm like, Charizard, fucking yes, motherfucker, and shit like that. Love me a bit of Squirtle. Well, I'll tell you, this movie's a bit fucked. Nah, it only gets like 12 out of 10 Deli ones. I'm not going to ruin it. I don't really even want to talk too much about it because like even just talking about it's going to fucking ruin it for you. But look, 12 out of 10 Deli ones, it might be my lowest score ever. You know? But hey, take that with a grain of salt. Or, as it were over here, a fucking big packet of fucking soy sauce. All right, so there you go. Detective Pikachu, get around it. 12 out of 10 Deli ones, pretty fucking sick, pretty funny, bit weird. Look, it's just mainly because, like, I don't know, people want to root, like, Pokemons most of the time, don't they? And I'm just not into that. Like, Deli's not all about that, as evidenced by the fact there's a little Deli on the way. So, I don't know, take it or leave it, I guess. All right, anyway, look, hopefully we beat the Czech Republic this week and we get into the medal games and we start kicking ass and I'll keep dropping some three bombs. All right, till next week, later, guns, Deli out.